Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
You get the idea? Bring me
a dream. It's on the internet.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Go on.
Give him two lips.
Like it's like no cheese I've ever tasted.
And tell him that his lonesome.
Here's the Sandman. Over
Sandman. Talking to your parents about their finances can be tough. Let's face it, you don't want to sound greedy or intrusive, but you also don't want to get blindsided either. Well, thanks to one of our listeners, I've put together a checklist to help you get that conversation started when it comes to talking to your parents about their finances. This should be a very informative show if you have parents that are still living. Good morning! This is Protect Your Assets. I'm David Hollander. If you're just tuning in for the first time, welcome. People around here call me the Sandman. You can hear the jingle. That's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal or financial questions. It is a beautiful sunny day outside, so you can feel the chill of the air coming. I'm a financial advisor and attorney. I've been doing this for over 30 years, and we're broadcasting live right now out of our little dumpy studio here in downtown Oakland, California. So if you have older parents, you may be wondering if they are going to be okay financially and if they have all the right documents in order. But how do you ask questions like that without seeming intrusive or greedy? I don't know why this topic feels so awkward, but it doesn't need to. It's important to have an open dialogue about money, estate planning, in order to avoid tax surprises and the expensive and time-consuming probate process here in the Bay. And this can be avoided by just talking about it ahead of time. So how do you broach the subject? What questions do you need to ask your parents without coming across as just wanting to get your hands on an inheritance? That's what we're hoping to help you answer today as I share with you 7 questions on how to ask your parents about their finances. Keep it right here and find out how to help your aging parents make sure they're on the right track. You only find it here on Protect Your Assets. Now, let's get started. Well, quite a week in the market. We certainly had some volatility. The Dow finished up barely 1.2%, S&P up 0.8%, NASDAQ 0.1%, and the 10-year, that's where it all started. Remember, we talked about this about 6 weeks ago. I was saying, keep your eye on that 10-year, and it got through 1.6%. That was a pretty good move. And oil, well, yeah, again, talked about that. 79.49 a barrel, that's where we're trading at now. It's at a 7-year high. And natural gas, wow, that's almost doubled to 2008 levels. So it's been quite an interesting market overall. I know we had a couple down days, couple up days. Stocks rallied this week because Congress evidently kicked the can down the road further on the debt ceiling. So again, that's some more good news, I guess. But how do you look at this market? What's going to continue this volatility? What are some theories you can look at? Well, this morning I'm going to educate you about something called the Dow theory. Yes, this is over a century year. It's over 100. Over 100 years old. This was developed by Charles Dow. And the rules of this are that a set of higher highs and higher lows on the Dow Jones Industrial, matched by a set of higher highs and higher lows on the Dow Jones Transportation, indicates that the broad stock market is in a bull market pattern and you could expect uptrends to come in the future. So we went this week and we analyzed the current market conditions, and guess what? Well, the Dow Transportation Index has been steadily trending lower. And the Dow Industrial, as you know, reached new highs August 16th. But since then, well, the industrials have been fading lower but have not yet established a new low. And this is the trading pattern that we're in right now. And this confirms a bearish shift in the Dow theory if we see the industrial start to go that direction. So that brings us to the current situation. where we are right now. So right now, here's where we are. The current situation reflects a couple things. First of all, the Delta variant. Remember, we were talking a lot about that in COVID outlook. And it's receding. That's what's been going on. And hopefully that doesn't change. And also, the Fed has continued to provide clarity on their tapering. And so starting this year and running at a pace of about $15 billion a month, we're supposed to see that in December. So those two events provide support for the market overall around the levels where we are right now. And they confirm neither will there be a material negative for stocks as long as that continues. So we're going to keep focusing on Washington and what they do with tax increases. And of course, we're starting to see earnings come out next week. The 2022 earnings expectations will start to come. And so as long as the S&P 500 stocks stay around $220 a share, then we'll maintain this current level of around 4,400 on the S&P. That's where we are right now. Things will get better, meaning we could go higher. And how much higher? Around 6%. And this would be if the Fed starts to back off their tapering. They say, well, maybe we're not going to do it now because things aren't warranted. Or the COVID does not come back the way that it did in the winter. So if we just continue on through as we're getting colder, you can feel it outside right now. It's starting to get colder. It's not summer anymore. As that continues to get colder, if variant stays under control, then that's a good thing for the stock market. Also, the yield. I've been talking a lot about the 10-year because the 10-year really is the benchmark of financial markets. And so it moved pretty good this last couple of weeks. Like I said, we just got to 160. And if that yield continues to slow down a little bit, it's going to move higher. I've been saying that. I've said that since I don't know how long, but it's going to move higher. And how much higher? Well, if I put a bet on it, 1.7% is my guess by the end of the year. We see that happen slowly, good. But if we see a breakthrough 2% and yields start to rise quickly, the stock market will not like that, and that will be bad. If Congress passes this tax hike and it stays in the $1.5 to $2 trillion range.
Why make trillions when we could make billions?
That's the government's logic for you. So if that happens, then the stock market could get hit. So all these sort of things, we want to see the results. 1.5 to 2 trillion is okay. If we get 2.5 or more, higher taxes, market won't like it. So what are we looking at right now? If things get better, let's say earnings are going to be around 225. Again, this will start next week, so we'll start to see the clarity on that. If that happens, we could see 4,600 on the S&P, and that's another 6%. All right, that's that. If we don't see it, if things get worse, COVID starts to come back, the government puts more money in taxes, et cetera, over $2.5 trillion. Treasuries go above 2%, 10-year. You're talking a 15% correction. It's just going to happen. It's going to be around 36.70, and that's what we're seeing. So there you are. There's your current situation. There's what happens if things get better, and there's what happens if things get worse. The economic news, the economy where we are right now, again, supported by the Dow theory we just talked about, still pretty good, still pretty healthy. We saw the ISM service index this past week. That is the service sector. It's all the folks you see working at the cafes and making stuff. And it shows that the overall economy is doing pretty well. There's a lot of consumer demand, as you know. People are still buying a lot of things. There's still some shortages because they can't get their whatever it is, because the boats are stuck out there in the bay. You can see them. And this is just what's going on right now. So as long as that continues at this current pace, which is what we think will happen, we will maintain where we are. And that's fine. You know, no big surprises there. So that's all good. Now, the focus is going to start turning towards the earnings next week as that starts to come out. And for us to get more optimistic about new highs in stocks, we want to see clarity on the pace of yields, like I've been saying, the 10-year. We want to see the third quarter earnings and the 2022 expectations, and we want to see tax hikes that are reasonable. What are reasonable tax hikes? I've been talking about this for a while. So the reasonable ones, the ones the market expects right now, are the corporate tax rate bumping up slightly, the highest earners over 400,000 bumping up to 39.6 Fed. Those are what the market's looking for now. Anything greater than that, anything different sort of outside of that, hitting more of the common man, you're going to see a problem. You're just going to see a problem in the market. It's not going to like it. So that's that. Now, coming up next, what's the easiest way to save 2 years and about $100,000, depending on your situation? Stick around if you want to find out. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Show with David Hollander. We'll be right back.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice.
Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And you're listening to Protect Your Assets. So if you have older parents, you may be wondering if they are going to be okay financially and if they have all their documents in order. But how do you ask questions or talk to them about this without seeming intrusive or greedy? It's a tough situation. And so that's why today we're going to help you by creating 7 questions on how to ask your parents about their finances. So the first question, you can write these down. And by the way, we have a checklist, which I'll throw out here in a bit. But these are the questions you want to ask. The first one is, where's your will / trust? And am I the executor / trustee? First of all, with a will, you have someone known as an executor. It's not a trustee. It's an executor. And with a trust, you have a trustee. And those roles have many different things that go along with them. So it's really important to know if you may have a role in your parents' estate plan and what it means. What are you supposed to do? Because a number of our clients have wills that name their children as the executor of their estate and or trustees of their trusts, but they have no idea that that's coming. And then they don't know what to do. And of course, you have your own job and your own family probably you're taking care of. And, you know, of course, you're going to help your parents out. But you know what I mean? What are you supposed to do? What do these documents mean? So you need to find out where your parents keep their will and their estate documents and the attorney who has the latest versions of those at a minimum. A lot of estate planning attorneys keep the original copy on file. And the reason they do that is because when the time comes and you call them, they'll be ready to help you. But I've seen several cases lately, and this is what triggered the show today, is a client asked us to talk about this, where no one could find any of the documents while the parent was ill or they died. And if your parents are among the many out there who don't have a will or a trust, you should tell them to hire an estate planning attorney to help get that plan in place. Now, I've seen children even offer to pay to have it done. Now, remember, if you do that, you're not the client. So don't be insulted. If you write a check to an attorney, you go to the office with your parents and the attorney politely asks you to stay in the lobby because the client is the parent, not you. And the attorney has the duty to the parent. So realize that. Now, if you don't do the will or you don't do the trust, it could be very, very costly while your parents are living with illness and certainly when they pass away. And just so you understand right now here in the Bay Area, we're talking almost 2.5-3 years in probate courts. It's an absolute disaster. I'm serious about this. We try and call the courts, talk to the clerks, figure out if our documents are okay. They won't even talk to you. You try and go down to the court and talk to them. Maybe you get lucky and get a break and you get some answers. But I'll tell you right now, I've seen these cases where you think everything's in order, all the paperwork's the way it's been forever, and for one simple idiotic reason, they say no. Sorry. And guess what? Now you're 6 months down the road again. It's frustrating, and you'll want to pull your hair out. Now, some wills that your parents may have, which again, I'd ask you to talk to them about, describe end-of-life celebrations or requests that you as an executor are supposed to do. One item that is not commonly listed in a will that you may want to ask your parents about is their burial or funeral arrangements, any sort of memorial they want. Have that conversation now, because I'll tell you, when the time comes, you may be designated that person and you have no idea what they want to do. And you end up spending all kinds of money when they may not have wanted that. My mom always makes a joke about a simple pine box or even a cardboard box. I mean, you know, we have these conversations. You know, we don't want to spend $15,000 on a, you know, copper colored metal. Who cares? Right? Who cares? You know, the Neptune Society is another great organization I've worked with. This is not any sort of paid endorsement. I'm just telling you, I've had experience with them. They're great. And if you want to be cremated, not a bad way to go. Next question for you is, this is to your parents again. Do you have any special bequests to family and friends? Now, this is really important, and you may not think it's a big deal, but it is. Family heirlooms, special personal property. This has a place in your family. Of course it does. And it certainly has a place in your parents' estate plan. So if they bought one of those junky little trust books where it doesn't lay that stuff out, well, guess what? You're going to have a problem, because you and your siblings are going to have some fights. And it doesn't end well sometimes. Perhaps your sister. Maybe she wants your mom's engagement ring. Or your brother. He wants that antique watch of your dad's. So it's really important that you know your parents' intentions and wishes for their keepsakes to make sure that everything passes the way they want it to go. Now, parents, if you're listening to me now, maybe you give away some of this stuff now to your kids. So maybe you're not wearing that watch very much anymore. Maybe you enjoy seeing your son wear it. Maybe that old car, same sort of thing. Anything that's laying around that you're not really using, we all have lots of stuff. Won't call it junk because it's worth money now, real money. I was just looking to bring a trailer and some Ford Fiesta from 1979 sold for like $35,000. Can you believe that? Yeah, I'm serious. People are paying crazy money for stuff right now. So if there's things that, you know, you want to turn into cash, maybe look into that. If there's things that you want to pass to your kids and have them enjoy it, do it. Do it now. So having this sort of conversation now can help prevent fights between you and your family later if you're designated that person to make these decisions. Some of our clients use a separate list for personal bequests that are referenced in their will. And this enables them to quickly update it instead of coming to me to have to change the whole entire document. They can just cross it out and write it down. Take pictures, make videos on your iPhone right now. It's super easy. So make sure you have a list of all your safe deposit boxes. Can I say this again? Safe deposit boxes. Where are they? Where's the key? I am not kidding. These are super hard to find. They're impossible to find. So you may have all kinds of gold coins and really cool stuff in some safe deposit box somewhere. If your kids don't know where to find it, guess what? It's gone. It's gone. So make sure on your list you have the safe deposit boxes, maybe the key in that list in an envelope somewhere in your safe. If you want to add your kids to that account now so they can be signers on the account, well, that's not a bad idea. And if you have safes in your home or in your office, make sure they know where those are. Make sure they know the access codes or keys to get into those. In case of an emergency, you can also have your attorney hold on to those for you. Some will do that. and make sure you have all of these records in one neat, safe place. That's safe, right? You don't want to leave that stuff out and you get robbed, your house gets robbed, and the thief gets it, and now you're worried about that. Don't do that. Next question. Mom and Dad, is there any life insurance I should know about? Here's another one. An item that may not be listed on this list of accounts is life insurance that they've had for 50 years. So find out if your parents have any active life insurance policies, which company issued that policy, and the number. You need the policy number. Okay, it's a good place to start. Now, some of these insurance companies are no longer in business. They were bought by bigger ones. And so the company that you see on the life insurance policy is no longer in existence. But it's very likely that somebody else has taken it over. So one thing you can look for on an annual basis is a statement that comes to your parents that talks about the value of the policy. Not all of these have that. So that's where you have to dig and find the original policy. And if your parents are still working, they may have life insurance through work rather than owning the policy individually. And if that's the case, find out what that is and who the beneficiaries are before something bad happens. Because that's going to avoid probate. It's going to go to the person named as the beneficiary, whether or not your parents wanted it or not. It's just the way it goes. Coming up next, it's time for our popular They Say segment, where this one question could very well save you over 3 years of pain and agony. Find out what it is. It always pays you to keep it tuned right here. You're listening to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander. That's me. We'll be right back.
Now you can hear the show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your smart speaker or Android device. Just say, hey Google, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Learn more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman. It keeps on raining,
welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And if you have older parents, you may be wondering if they are going to be okay financially and if they have all the right documents in order, because when the time comes, you don't want to get blindsided by having to make some pretty tough decisions or just be in trouble. Because if you don't have the right sort of setup, right combination, you'd be looking at a big problem. So this morning we're going over 7 questions on how to ask your parents about their finances, and we've just been through a few. So if you missed those first 3 I've already covered, you can always check it out on the podcast, which you can access on any media platform that you get your podcast from. So I happen to like Spotify. If you use that, go to the search tab there. You type in Protect Your Assets, and you'll see it all. So that's where you'll find all the questions, if you miss any of today's show. And if you're just tuning in right now, then welcome. So today we're talking about how to talk to your parents about finances and money and all that sort of stuff. So now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show, our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and sometimes just bad advice that they say.
Are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? There's only one man with all the answers. And here he is, David Hollander, the Sandman.
So here's one they say. They say that if you have an advisor, an attorney, or a CPA, you're A-OK. Is that always true? No. I've seen this happen many, many times where you mean well, you think you have the right documents, and then something bad happens, and then you find me, because I usually clean it up. So that's the way it goes. And so today we're covering a simple list. In fact, one of our clients thanked us for this list, because when she went and sat down with her mom, made it much easier to deal with the situation. So here's another, this is question number four. This is like I said, probably one of the most important things you could do. Write this down. Do you keep a list of all your accounts handy? Question mark. Do you keep a list of all your accounts handy? Ask your parents to put together a list of their financial assets. Now, today, as you know, most of this stuff is through your phone on an app or on a computer. So that means you're going to need usernames and passwords. And as those change, which they do, make sure they update their list and make sure you know where it is and help them figure that out if they need help. Now, the other thing you need to find out is once you know about these accounts, who are the beneficiaries on those accounts? For example, if there's an IRA account or a 401k or a life insurance policy or an annuity or a long-term care policy, those documents have beneficiaries on them. And if your parent dies and the person who is named as the beneficiary is no longer around because there was a divorce, maybe a death, guess what? That money gets locked up in probate somewhere. Or if it's going to a person that you didn't want them to get because the trust and the will says something different, well, guess what? They get the money, even if the will and trust says something different. That's just the way it goes. Those accounts, if you miss that, go back and listen to the podcast. Those type of accounts I just mentioned pay out to the beneficiary because it's a contract. And contract trumps, I like that, trumps trust or will. Got that? Okay, so that's how that works. Yes, I am an attorney. I'm able to talk about these things. I know a lot of financial people try and talk about it and they make mistakes, so be careful. That's all I'm saying. The next question you want to ask your parents is, have you forgotten bills or had trouble balancing your checkbook lately? Now, that's a sensitive one. So here's the way that I would suggest you approach this one, because this one's a little sensitive. Now, I've been doing this for almost 30 years now, and I'll tell you, I look at telltale signs when I go into a senior's home. Senior, someone who's over 60 years old in California, believe it or not. So, yeah. When you go into your parents' home, look around. If you see a stack of bills that continues to get bigger and you see notices like they're not getting paid, well, that's a sign. That's a sign that perhaps you're looking at a dementia that's happening or a particular Alzheimer's that's happening. These are very detailed, complex situations. If you're not a doctor, you're not going to understand this. But you can look at simple things like that. And maybe your parents just need help paying the bills because it's the last thing on their mind. Maybe they're just not good at doing that anymore. Maybe the person who handled it, like your dad or maybe even your mom, is no longer here. And so the remaining spouse just doesn't deal or do with that kind of stuff. This is simple stuff. But it can get in trouble. So I recommend a discussion around these key financial decisions with your parents while they are in good, sound mental health. And you may say, well, that's kind of debatable because if they're forgetting about, you know, let's be simple here, okay? If they can have a conversation with you, if they know who you are, if they know that they have a particular item they want to give to somebody, that's the test in California. That meets all the rules. They're competent. You can't challenge them. Don't do that. So talk to them. Just talk to them. Now, this conversation should help everyone make a plan. If your parents start to show signs of memory loss, you'll be ready to go. Signs of memory loss include forgetting appointments, making occasional errors while managing your household finances, getting confused on what day of the week it is. I have witnessed people deviating from normal patterns of behavior that caused us to reach out to the family members we knew about. One case that's always in my mind was where I had a gentleman who had someone show up at his house who claimed that his roof needed fixing. And so the gentleman paid this person to go up and fix the roof, and the guy kept coming back because the other things needed to be done. And by the time this got pretty bad, he wanted to wire $100,000 to his account. Well, I got wind of that quickly, called the people you need to call, Adult Protective Services, District Attorney's Office, and I put the guy in jail for 20 years. That's the way it goes. So make sure you're looking out for this sort of thing, because you want to be able to step in and determine that your parents okay, they're not being taken advantage of, and obviously stop those transfers from happening before they do. Super important. Next question. Are you all set with a living will? What are your wishes for Medi-Cal / long-term care? Now, this one I could spend a whole hour talking about. In fact, I've had a show on this in the past. So go to the podcast and find the long-term care show. But your parents should have what's called an advanced health care directive. It's also known as a living will and health care power of attorney. Those sort of things usually are the same type of document, but see if they have that. Now, I would encourage you to sit down with them and go through it, because just because they filled it out doesn't mean that they really thought about it. And you're going to be the one, if you're designated, who has to make the decisions. And this is really when it's tough, right? Your parent could be in a hospital, they could be in a coma, and then you've got to make some tough calls. So it's really important that if you are that person, that you know what your parents' medical decisions are, because this includes your preferences, parents, for your life-sustaining treatment. Like if you're at home and you're in hospice and they're going to ask you, do you want morphine? Because morphine will actually hasten your death. I don't know if you know that. It speeds it up. So there's an argument out there, of course. This is California, where we don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So if you want to do that, make sure your paper says that. If you're gone, there's no way you're coming back, you want to make sure you have a do not resuscitate, a DNR. And I recommend you stick that on your refrigerator, because when the paramedics show up at your house, that's where they're trained to go look, on your refrigerator with a magnet. Stick it on there. Well, my refrigerator doesn't take magnets anymore. Take a piece of tape, slap it on there. All right? It may also discuss, what are your preferences for organ donation? I love this one. When the husband says, yeah, I'm going to give it away, and the wife says, what? No. So it's your body, your decision, your choice. Make your choice. Ask your parents if they have any long-term care or disability type policies. These are insurance policies that provide money for your parents to stay at home or go to assisted living or skilled nursing. Now, usually to claim a benefit under a policy like this, your parent needs to be unable to perform 2 out of 6 activities of daily living. What are those activities? Well, we bathe, hopefully every day. We dress. We toilet. We eat. We transfer. It's lifting out of chairs, out of bed. Continence. Those are the 6 that you need to be able to perform. If you can't perform 1, 2, 3 of those, depends on the policy, it should trigger and then start to pay depending on what the policy says. Now, there could be a severe cognitive disorder in there as well, maybe an Alzheimer's dementia. Most policies will cover that as well. If your parents have a policy, find it. Understand the basic benefits in case you need to help them file a claim. And just by being aware that your parents have these policies can remind them when they can be used and ease the burden of home, assisted living, or skilled nursing when those bills start to come, because they're going to be anywhere from $8,000 to $15,000 a month, just what it costs today. So by discussing your parents' financial and estate plans, I know it's not easy, I know it's not comfortable, but it's going to help both of you have some peace of mind and know that things will be provided for and things will be taken care of when the time comes. It's time for a quick break, but when we come back, find out what some of your duties will be if you are the successor, Power of Attorney. It's coming up next, so stick around.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show protect your assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice.
Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And you're listening to Protect Your Assets. And isn't that name right now, protecting what you have, so relevant when the stock market is at all-time highs? How will you convert those values in your 401k into income that will last the rest of your life? Well, you can find out so much more on our website. Go check out libertygroupllc.com. So if you have older parents, today we've been talking about how to make sure that they're going to be okay financially if things start to get a little bit tough later from a financial standpoint or a legal standpoint. And it's tough to talk about this subject because it is somewhat taboo in our society. Why it is, I don't know, but it is. Because you don't want to seem like you're being intrusive, getting into their private space, or you're greedy, you're looking for your inheritance early. Some parents take it the wrong way. So how do you start the subject? What questions do you need to ask? How do you make sure your parents are just going to be okay? Well, we've been going over our list this morning. There are 7 questions I've come up with. And the next question on the list is this one. Who is your financial power of attorney? This document really is the foundation of any estate plan that we do. And when I talk to people, I always ask to see a copy of that. Because this document will allow your parents to name a primary and then a secondary person who can make financial decisions for them immediately, or you could do one what's called a springing power of attorney, where if they become incapacitated, the document comes to life if you can get a letter from a doctor to say that. So if you are named as the person to make these financial decisions, well, then you need to find out where all your parents' financial assets are held. And so earlier I was talking about how you would do that. In addition to that, you're going to want to obtain information about their Medicare policy, any pensions that they may have, Social Security benefits, rents from real estate, income from investments. Those sort of things are going to be important to know about so you can make sure that you know where the money's coming in and actually where it's going to be going out too. So that's where you want to know about their bills and what's regular and so forth. It even helps to know their bills. So I would suggest you find out who their cable company's with, if they have a cell phone, which carrier they're with. And that just will come up if you have to start paying some bills. You don't want things being turned off. Insurance policies on the home, things like that. Also, make sure that the power of attorney talks about access to safe deposit boxes. Earlier, I talked a lot about safe deposit boxes, and so you want to make sure that the document says that you have access to that and that it relieves the bank of any liability, because the banks are really tough about that. And so just because you have a power of attorney, it says that you have access, don't necessarily think you do. I've had many conversations with many branch managers end up with their legal department about whether or not this person has the right to access that safe deposit box when their parent passes away. Get this, about 2/3 of baby boomers have taken no steps to protect themselves if they suffer diminished capacity or dementia. They haven't spelled out their wishes for their care and end-of-life decisions. They haven't sorted out a power of attorney for when one's needed. And as anyone who has been through this process can tell you, the chances are pretty high that if you wait to do this stuff until it's needed, well, it's just going to be too late. I'd like to give a big thanks to the Protect Your Assets team for putting together a great show today. My executive producer and network manager, Kevin Renfer, And of course, all my fabulous producers back there doing all the heavy work. Fish, Phil, and Brett, thank you guys. Because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. You have been listening to the Protect Your Assets Show. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
All calls have been screened. Callers should not expect their conversations with David Hollander on the radio or with staff to be held in confidence. And the legal information provided on the air is not intended to be a substitute for callers hiring their own lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Proper advice depends on complete analysis of all the facts and circumstances. The information given on this program is in the nature of general financial comment and cannot be relied upon as pertaining to your specific financial situation. California Life Agent number 0B48569. Listeners should consult their own financial advisor or conduct their own due diligence before making any financial decisions. The preceding program was paid for by Liberty Group, LLC. And the views and the opinions of the host do not represent those of this station or its ownership. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.